Welcome to the deep dive.
Okay, today we're doing something a bit different. Forget the huge strategic maps for a second. We're going right down to the thick of it. Stalingrad, October 1942. And our way in, it's pretty unique.
Yeah, it really is. We're looking at an after-action report, an AAR from a game of Advanced Squad Leader.
Exactly. So think of it like almost a first-person view, but through a game of one specific fight.
Yeah.
Right in the Red Barricades factory.
And this AAR, it's from the ASL Sweden forum called Into the Red Factory Halls. It's incredibly detailed, like turn-by-turn stuff from experienced players recreating this, well, this absolute meat grinder.
And the Red Barricades, I mean, for anyone who doesn't know Stalingrad that well, this wasn't just any factory.
No, no. Massive industrial complex,
yeah.
Workshops, huge halls, and it became the front line.
Literally fighting room to room over machinery, just brutal. By October 42, this was, yeah, some of the worst fighting.
And what makes this AAR, this game report, particularly interesting is who was playing. Folks like Melvin Falk, who's, you know, rated really highly in the ASL world. So this isn't just casual dice rolling.
Not at all. It's a serious tactical simulation. ASL itself, it's this super detailed board game about small units, squads, leaders, individual machine guns, basically.
Right. Movement, morale, leadership, all of it.
Exactly. So these AARs, they give you this incredibly granular look at the tactical decisions.
So that's our mission today, really, to jump into this game report and see what insights we can pull out.
Yeah.
What does this detailed play-by-play tell us about, well, the challenges of this kind of urban warfare?
Trying to get that ground level feel, right? Almost like being there.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so let's unpack it. The AAR starts, the game title is Red Barricades Into the Factory, CGI. What's the CGI tell us?
Okay, CG usually stands for a campaign game. So CGI suggests this scenario, Into the Factory. It's probably the first part of a bigger series, like Chapter 1.
A connected series of games about this factory fight.
Precisely. And the wider campaign time frame is given as October 17th to the 27th, 1942. So yeah, right in the thick of it for this sector.
And this specific report focuses just on the first day.
Just October 17th, yeah. It logs the action for that day. And it notes the conditions, too.
Oh, yeah. Like what?
Clear weather, moderate conditions, no wind. Seems minor, maybe.
But in ASL, details matter.
They absolutely do. Mm. Clear weather means good visibility, affects smoke, targeting, all sorts of things. It's not just flavor text.
Okay. And the AAR mentions something like Balance R5 in play. Should we worry about that?
Not really for our purposes. It's just a game thing. It means they were using a specific rules modification, probably to fine-tune the scenario, make it more balanced or historically accurate.
Gotcha. Just shows the players are serious about the simulation.
Exactly. But what is fascinating is the detail on the forces. Let's start with the Germans.
Right. Their order of battle, the OB, nope. It lists their starting experience level rating, ELR, as 4, and sniper activation number, SAN-N, as 3. What's that mean in plain English?
Okay, ELR4. That suggests pretty good troops. Experienced, capable, veterans, maybe.
Not green recruits.
Definitely not. SAN3, the sniper number that's game specific, governs how often German snipers might pop up. 3 is, let's say, a moderate chance. Nothing crazy, but a factor.
And they had artillery.
Oh, yeah. Significant off-board artillery. An 80-plus millimeter mortar battalion that had 2 pre-planned target hexes and an observer to call in more fire, plus heavier stuff. A 150-plus millimeter heavy artillery battery, also with its own observer.
Wow. Okay. So serious firepower they could call down before the infantry even got close?
Absolutely. A big advantage right off the bat.
And the troops actually on the board?
Also pretty hefty. They had elements from Rifle First Company and then 2 Sturm Companies. It's Assault Companies First and Second. And a platoon of Panzer III tanks.
How many tanks is a platoon usually?
Typically 3 to 5, somewhere in that range. The AAR doesn't give the exact number there, but the detailed list shows 11 leaders, officers, NCOs.
The guys directing the squads.
Right. Those Panzer IIIs and then 36 squad equivalents. That's just a way to count total infantry strength.
And what kind of squads were they?
Good ones. 24 were elite. 5-4-8 squads. Those numbers are game stats for firepower, range, morale. 5-4-8s are strong. And 12 were 4-6-7 first line squads. Still decent, but maybe not quite as tough as the elites.
And loaded with support weapons too, I bet.
Yep. 16 support weapons total. A heavy machine gun, 3 medium machine guns, 6 light machine guns.
That.
1 anti-tank rifle, a light mortar, and 4 demolition charges.
Ooh, demolition charges. Useful in a factory fight, I imagine.
Very useful. Blowing holes in walls, clearing rubble, taking out bunkers. Yeah. Okay, so that's the German spearhead. What about the Russians holding the factory?
Okay, Russian OB. Their ELR is lower. It's 3. Sands the same, 3.
Right, so ELR 3 suggests, on average, maybe less experienced troops than that initial German way. Still regular soldiers, but maybe not as battle-hardened overall. Same potential for sniper activity, though.
And their units on the board?
They had elements from rifle companies, 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. The 3rd and 4th are marked as reserve, which might mean something specific in the campaign rules. And an SMG company, 1st SMG, lots of submachine guns there.
Good for close-in fighting.
Definitely. But the Russians also had some interesting tricks up their sleeve.
Like what?
Hidden units. The AAR mentions 100 firepower points worth of HIP units hidden initial placement. That was 4 squads and 4 leaders, so the Germans wouldn't know where they were at the start.
Ambushes waiting to happen.
Could be. They also had 6 dummy units, basically decoys, to try and fool the Germans about where their real strength was, plus a minefield anti-personnel and 6 fortified locations. They were dug in.
So prepared defenses. And what about their regular troop numbers?
Still substantial. 8 leaders, 2 AT-45 LL anti-tank guns, probably light AT guns, maybe 45 millimeter, perhaps better against infantry or light vehicles than those Panzers.
Right.
And a lot of infantry. 58 squad equivalents. That's significantly more than the Germans started with on board.
What kind of squads?
Mostly 447 first line squads. There were 48 of those, plus 9 527 first line squads and 2 228 crews, probably for those AT guns, and 20 support weapons. 4 medium MGs, 8 light MGs, 4 anti-tank rifles, and 4 light mortars.
So, numerically superior infantry, maybe less experienced on average, but with hidden units and fortifications. Seems like a tough nut to crack.
That's the setup. A classic Stalingrad scenario, really. Quality versus quantity, prepared defenses versus assault power. Okay, so the AAR then describes the first 6 turns, day 1, October 17th. How did the Germans kick things off?
Well, it says their initial strategy was pretty direct. A straight assault towards the Red Halls. Must have been key buildings.
Probably victory locations or just dominant structures, yeah.
And they used that artillery immediately. Both off-board batteries targeting the central sector right away.
Softened it up first. Smart move. Did it work?
Seems like it. The report says the German infantry advance was relatively unopposed initially.
Wow. So the shells really suppressed the Russians.
Yeah, pinned them down, caused casualties before the Panzers even rolled in properly. The AAR credits the artillery screens for that initial ease of advance.
Makes sense. Charging into intact defenses in that environment would be suicide.
So under that artillery cover, the German infantry moved in. The report calls it mopping up the initial area.
Right. Clearing buildings, dealing with any survivors of the shelling, securing the ground they just took. You can't just bypass defenders in urban combat. They'll shoot you in the back.
Standard procedure then.
Yeah.
Secure before advancing further.
Absolutely crucial. Then, did the artillery keep hitting the same spot?
No, it shifted. Both German artillery modules then started pounding the Russian defenders in the Volga sector.
Okay, so maybe hitting the next line of defense or units closer to the river, trying to stop reinforcements or cut off a retreat route.
Could be either. The report suggests this second wave of shelling was also very effective.
More casualties.
Yeah, inflicted more casualties. And it also started setting buildings on fire.
Oof, fire. That adds a whole other layer of chaos. Blocks movement, forces units out.
And the AAR really emphasizes how much artillery the Germans had and how well it worked that day. It mentions the observers pulled 9 black chits. What does that mean?
Ugh, the black chits. In ASL's artillery rules, that basically means the fire missions were very effective and kept coming down. 9 is a lot. It suggests sustained, heavy, accurate fire.
So the Germans just had loads of shells available that day.
Seems like it. The AAR even comments it felt like their ammo stockpiles were available in abundance on the 17th, a major factor in the day's results.
Okay, so after 6 turns, end of the first day's fighting, what did the butcher's bill look like?
Pretty grim. Especially for the defenders. The AAR states outright that about half of all Russian casualties on day 1 were directly from that artillery.
Just wiped out by shelling. Wow.
Yeah. So German losses, 2 leaders, 3 squad equivalents, 2 support weapons, manageable maybe.
But the Russians.
Much worse. 1 leader, 17 squad equivalents. That's a big chunk of their infantry. 5 support weapons and 1 of their 2 AT guns knocked out.
17 squad equivalents. That really shows the impact of that German assault in the artillery barrage.
It really does. A very bloody opening.
So how did the forces look at the end of that day? What was left standing?
All right. End of day 1, OB. Germans still had Sand 3. They were down to 9 leaders, still had all 3 Panzer 3rds, apparently, which is interesting.
Tanks survived the initial push.
Seems so. Infantry down to 33 squad equivalents. The breakdown is a bit fuzzy in the report. It says 9 elite, then 23.5 elite, 9.5 first, second line. Might be a typo or just shorthand, but basically they lost 3 squads overall. Mostly the less experienced ones, it seems. And 14 support weapons left.
Okay, reduced but still potent. And the Russians.
Also San 3. They had 7 leaders left. Only one AT-45LL gun remaining. Infantry down to 41 squad equivalent.
Still numerically superior, but how is the quality looking?
That's where you see the hit. Only one elite squad left, according to the OB. They had 33.5 first line squads, one crew for the AT gun, and 6 conscript squads listed now. So maybe some reinforcements were conscripts, or maybe the losses hit their better troops harder, and 15 support weapons remaining.
So the Germans definitely dealt a heavy blow on day one, particularly with that artillery. But the Russians are still there, still have numbers.
Absolutely. The fight is far from over. But this single day, this simulation, gives such a stark picture, doesn't it?
It really does. And this whole scenario into the Red Factory Halls, it wasn't just a standalone game, right? You mentioned it was part of something bigger.
Exactly. It's crucial context. This was apparently CGI, the first part of a larger campaign game called Red Barricades, CG 3rd, the Barricade-y. And that campaign covered a much longer stretch, October 17th right through to November 15th.
Wow. So this was just the opening engagement of a month-long virtual struggle for that factory complex.
Seems that way. And the forum thread where this AAR comes from, it lists other related campaigns too.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, Red Barricade, CG2, Operation Hubertus, and Red October CGIX tag. It really shows how much focus the ASL community puts on these factory battles in Stalingrad. Multiple big interconnected campaigns.
The dedication is incredible. They even mentioned tracking documents like OB casualties record Stalingrad.pdf.
Yeah, I saw that. It just shows the level of detail. They're tracking losses, unit status. It's almost like running a real military staff exercise, but as a hobby, trying to get the history right.
And the forum thread also mentioned Leaflet House Rules, or LHR. What are those about?
Right, LHR. Basically, they're custom rules. Modifications to the standard ASL rule set specifically made for these Red Barricades and Red October scenarios.
Why would they need custom rules?
Well, maybe to better represent the unique terrain of the factories,
mm-hmm.
or specific historical events, troop types, supply situations, things that the standard rules might not cover perfectly for this specific setting.
Tailoring the game to the history.
Exactly. And the fact they have a link just for those rules shows how much thought went into it.
We also saw that Tanan, the sniper activation number, was 3 for both sides. We talked about the German snipers, but the Russians having one too.
Yeah, I mean, snipers were a threat both ways. Not just the attackers, but the defenders too could have snipers potentially taking shots. Just adds another layer of constant danger in that environment.
Makes sense. And finally, it's kind of cool that all this is happening on a forum, right? ASL Sweden.
Mm-hmm.
It's a community sharing these really intense game experiences.
Totally. It's not just playing the game, is discussing it, analyzing it, sharing the AARs like this one. It's how the knowledge and the passion for the game and the history gets passed around. They're really engaging with it.
So wrapping up this look at just the first day of Into the Red Factory Halls, what are the big takeaways for you?
Well, first, just the sheer brutality of that close quarters factory fighting comes through, even in a game report. Second, the massive impact of artillery. It wasn't just background noise. It was arguably the decisive factor on day one here.
Yeah, causing half the Russian casualties.
Exactly. And third, just the incredible detail and tactical depth that a simulation like ASL offers. It really forces you to think like those commanders on the ground, I think.
It absolutely gives you that ground level view, far from the arrows on the big maps. You feel the pressure on individual squads, the importance of a single machine gun, the terror of that artillery.
Yeah, it strips away the abstraction, which leads to a good question to maybe leave folks with.
Go for it.
Okay, so we saw the setup. We saw how day one went down with heavy Russian losses, but the Germans also taking casualties. Thinking about the next days of fighting in those factory halls, what were the biggest challenges going to be for both sides after this? How would that dense, destroyed factory terrain, you know, the rubble, the buildings, the hidden spots, how would that, plus the units they had left, shape the fighting on October 18th and beyond?
That's a great question. How does the attacker keep momentum? How does the defender use the ruins? Lots to think about. If this deep dive sparked your interest, definitely look up more on the Battle of Stalingrad itself. Or maybe even check out Advanced Squad Leader. It's quite the rabbit hole.
It certainly is.
Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.